This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we turn to the question of Huawei, and someone who can help us on the Huawei mysteries these last years joins us now, Brendan Carr, FCC Commissioner, to comment on a news report, a puzzling news report. This is Bloomberg. Huawei recruits smartphone partners to sidestep U.S. sanctions. Huawei Technologies, the copy reads, whose smartphone business has been devastated by U.S. sanctions, is planning to license its handset designs to third parties as a way to gain access to critical components. Brendan, a very good evening to you. Is this a surprise? Is this workaround credible? Because it certainly sounds like we know about it, and it does not enjoy the spirit of the sanctions.
Well, great to join you, John. I would say, first and foremost, the news here is that the actions that we've been taking at the FCC and across the federal government over the past couple of years against Huawei are working. They've been seeing a deep cut to their revenues and profitability, and they're really suffering thanks to the smart, appropriate sanctions and other steps we've taken. And to your point, we're now seeing a reaction. They're trying to do some sort of backdoor workaround to evade those restrictions that are hurting their business model. And the important thing for regulators like myself, for my counterparts at the State Department, to realize is there's no amount of corporate structure chicanery that is going to minimize the threat posed by Huawei. And we need to be smart and agile here. It's not, you know, Huawei itself as a corporate entity that is the problem. It is the close working relationship with the CCP and other nefarious conduct. And that same threat can be posed if they just try to do some sort of workaround. So we need to be nimble and adjust our approach to efforts to evade our actions.
Gordon, just to recover Huawei, the story so far, the last significant event I recall is a young woman, a CFO, I believe, of Huawei, on a red carpet in Beijing in a red dress. Do I remember correctly, Gordon?
You do remember correctly, because Meng Wanzhou, the chief financial officer of Huawei, had been detained by Canadian authorities in December 2018 at the request of the U.S. Justice Department, because we believe that she was violating U.S. sanctions. And she was released, I believe, in September, the Biden administration should not have done that. And she went back to a hail of publicity, as we should have recognized at the time.
That was Huawei then. This is Huawei now. You have a question for the Commissioner, Gordon.
Brendan, you talked about how we need to recognize the structure of the Chinese system is different than ours. Huawei says that it is employee-owned. But when Donald Clark, who's an academic, looked at this, he found that really 1% of Huawei was employee-owned, basically by the founder, and that 99% was by nominally a trade union. But in the Chinese system, a trade union really is the Chinese state. And it just seems to me that we're dealing with a very different system than ours. And as you say, our regulation needs to take that into account. Your comments.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, look, there's also this new national security law in China that effectively requires, or does in fact require, entities like Huawei to turn over information at the request of the CCP. And what we've seen here with Huawei is a pattern of conduct, both public and that we've been briefed on in confidential settings, that led us to conclude that they pose too grave a national security threat to the U.S. to allow them to remain in our network. And again, the problem here is the threat. It is not, you know, the the international version of the LLC or corporate structure that's the problem. And so we need to be nimble and not let, you know, a change in the way they do business end up being a workaround, because that's the threat that we've identified is real, and we need to continue to take action on it.
In praise of the Biden administration, I read from a Reuters report, Washington, November 11th. U.S. President Joe Biden on Thursday last signed legislation to prevent companies like Huawei or ZTE that are deemed security threats from receiving new equipment licenses from U.S. regulators. The Secure Equipment Act, the latest effort by the U.S. government to crack down on Chinese telecom and tech companies, was approved unanimously by the U.S. Senate late October, and earlier in the month, November, by the U.S. House on a 420-4 vote. Brendan, this is extremely encouraging, but does it fill the all of the efforts that the Huawei is making in order to inculcate itself in our allies as well as our own telecom situation?
This legislation is a really important development. This goes back to March of this year. I gave a speech where I identified what I called a Huawei loophole. And so while we have banned Huawei gear from going into our networks and, in fact, are requiring that that gear come out, what most people don't know is that only applied to Huawei gear that was subsidized by the federal government. Now, that happened to be a large portion of the Huawei gear that was subsidized for reasons that we can get into down the road. But what it didn't do was prohibit Huawei gear that wasn't subsidized. In other words, while you could not use federal dollars to purchase a Huawei spy box and put it into your network, you could use private dollars and purchase the exact same equipment and put it into the exact same point in your network. And so what this legislation does is it addresses that Huawei loophole and makes sure that the FCC, where I work, is not approving new Huawei gear to go into the network, even if federal dollars aren't involved. So it's an important thing practically, but it's also a very significant sign. Again, on the eve of President Biden having his summit with officials in China to say, look, this is a bipartisan position. The U.S. government is united. This wasn't some sort of frolic and detour that the Trump administration went down. We are going to continue to hold China accountable for the national security threats that they pose to the U.S.
Gordon?
Brendan, the United States, under your leadership and the FCC, has moved decisively against Huawei, ZTE, and other Chinese companies. Have our allies taken the same sort of vigor in their approach to these Chinese companies?
They certainly started to do this. When we went down this path 2 or 3 years ago, a lot of people said, well, the U.S. is going it alone. This is some sort of anti-trade move by the U.S., but that really changed, particularly during COVID-19. And so many of our regulatory counterparts in Europe and, frankly, across the world came to reach the same conclusions that we did about the security threat that these entities pose. And they're taking very similar actions in many cases to the U.S. But it goes beyond Huawei. We've taken action on ZTE. We have prohibited China Mobile from connecting to the U.S. network. And we recently, in a sort of first action of this type, we revoked the authority of China Telecom from continuing to stay connected to the U.S. network based on national security threats. So we are addressing this at the equipment level, at the network level, and we're taking these challenges head on.
Brendan, I recall vividly one morning driving to the airport in Tashkent in these last summers before the pandemic, and I looked up at the traffic light, and there was a great big brand-new building with Huawei plastered across the top of it. Huawei is everywhere in Eurasia. This is Uzbekistan. Is that also a threat to our security? Because we have alliances around the world, new alliances since the fall of the Soviet Union, that are to be treasured and not doubted.
Well, you're right. Look, I was down a dusty road about 2 hours outside of Nairobi, Kenya, and there were billboards on the side of the road, with Huawei gear being advertised. And you're right. When it comes to, Africa in particular, they are a vast, vast dominating share of that market. Similarly, in South America as well. And to some extent, that's a real problem there. In the Trump administration, you had U.S. government officials saying, if you have a sufficient amount of this Huawei gear in your network, in your country, that might limit our ability to share national security or sensitive information with your government based on the threat it poses there. So while we've made good progress in Europe, obviously great progress here in the U.S., there are still challenges in Africa and South America when it comes to the depth and degree of Huawei gear that's been inserted there.
We have a minute, Gordon. Go ahead.
Brendan, there's no American counterpart to Huawei. Are we completely out of the telecom networking business?
It's a challenge, but what I'll say is there is some developments that are cutting in our direction. For instance, this new generation of 5G network gear, a lot of it is driven by software and is less dependent, relatively speaking, to bespoke, expensive pieces of hardware. And so when the competition for network gear is taking place at the software level, there are U.S. businesses, in fact, small companies, that can compete in that space. And so that trend towards having the guts and the brains and the really expense take place at the software level rather than the hardware level really opens up that network to more competitors, whether they're U.S., or Europe or otherwise. So I think that's a good trend from a competition perspective and from a national security perspective.
Brendan Carr is a commissioner at the FCC. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.